Know it. That was a sermon preached through song right there.
That was wonderful.
Thank you so much, Stan, for you've preached, you've sung me up to preach, and I appreciate that. I feel ready to go. I hope you feel blessed as well. Thank you, Brenda, for leading us again in worship. Want to add my word of welcome to our visitors. If you're a visitor and this is your first time, this is my second time. So I'm not quite as much a first-timer as you are, but welcome. I do want to dismiss the kids to go see Debbie in Children's Church. So kids can be dismissed. And as they're heading out, I want to invite you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. My name is Adam Groza, and it's my honor to preach in the bulletin. I serve at Gateway Seminary in Ontario, but it is always my honor to bring a message from God's Word. And our message this morning is from the book of Philippians, chapter 3. If you're using the Pew Bible, that's page 1163. So that will help you find your place. Philippians, chapter 3. And I'm going to go ahead and read this, and I'm going to throw a little bit of an audible. Now, it's not football season anymore, but I'm going to throw an audible. And I'm going to read for us starting in verse 1, and I'm going to read through verse 16. Okay? Chapter 3, verse 1, and I'm going to read through 16. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you is no trouble to me, and it is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we have sung about your grace. We have declared our desire to be close to you. We've been reminded by Stan that you love us. This is good and true, and Father, we thank you for the privilege of worshiping. God, I ask that you would now allow us to worship through the preaching and the hearing of your word. Not, Father, that we might go through a rote exercise, but that we might bear fruit of obedience. As we sung earlier, we want to worship and obey. So, Father, convict us of sin. Help us to turn our attention to your inerrant, unchanging word. In Christ's name, amen. Do I need to do anything different with this? Okay, please let me know if you if I need to take off my jacket, if there's anything I'm doing, or if we need to go to the podium, Mike, I'm happy to do that as well. I just want you to know, whenever there's a sound problem, it's my fault. I take full responsibility for all of the pops and everything. I preach with my hands, as some of you have observed. Groza is Romanian, and I guess it's just a characteristic of that. Well, David Livingstone, the famous Scottish preacher, David Livingstone is famous because he went to Africa with the gospel in the 19th century. And he first heard about the need for missionaries in Africa back when he was a medical student, and he read the writings of someone named Robert Moffat. And Robert Moffat wrote of the smoke from 1,000 fires in villages where the gospel had never been preached. And David Livingstone, as a medical student, read that, and he thought to himself, I need to go. And so in the 1830s, David Livingstone went to Africa. He stood on the bow of a ship as it approached the continent of Africa. And in the morning darkness, he saw the light, the smoke of the 1,000 villages he had read about years ago. And he wrote in his journal these words, I will go anywhere, provided it be forward. I will go anywhere, provided that it be forward. And our passage this morning, Paul is admonishing us, encouraging us as brothers and sisters that we must go forward in faith. And so that's what I want to draw our attention to this morning. We are to go forward in faith, grow in faith, mature in faith. We are to make progress in our relationship with Christ. We're not to be stale, stagnant, sentient believers, we are to be moving forward in our faith. We're supposed to be growing up. Well, that's hard enough. You know, in every area of life, all of us want to make progress. In your financial situation in life, you hope to make progress. In your career, you hope to make progress. In your relationships, you hope to make progress. And over the course of your life, you gauge progress in certain ways. At some point, you walk across the stage and you get a degree and you've graduated. That's progress. At some point in life, you move from that little studio apartment into the 3-bedroom condo or whatever progress you make. And when you move into that new place, don't you feel that sense, I've made progress? Or maybe at some point in your life, you move from the center cubicle to the corner office, and you think, I've made progress. We all like the feeling of making progress. The question is, what does it look like and feel like to make progress in our relationship with Christ? How do we know when we're making progress in our relationship with Christ? Well, Paul is going to address that. Spiritually, what does it look like to grow up? What does it look like to go forward? Well, the first thing I want you to notice is that Paul says twice in verses 12 and again in verse 14, press on. And so the first point that I want to make is that if you're going to go forward in faith, you have to press on. Press on. Paul says it twice. In verse 13, he says, strain forward. Do you see that in your Bibles? Let me remind you, keep your Bibles open as we go through the scripture. I'm going to be referencing parts of the Bible. Keep it open or keep it on if you're using your phone. Press on, strain forward. When you hear these words, press and strain, the imagery that should come to mind is an image of effort, an image of energy, and of effort that you put into something. And the basic idea here is that growing in Christ, going forward in faith, is not easy. It's not easy. There's a reason so many Christians don't go forward in faith. They don't grow in faith. They don't mature in faith. It's easy to be stagnant. It's easy to stay where you're at. It takes effort, straining, pushing, pressing to move forward in faith. It's an uphill climb. Now, if we're not careful, we might make the mistake of thinking, now, wait a second. Does this mean that we somehow earn our salvation? Paul's not talking about salvation. He's talking about sanctification. Now, maybe you don't know that word. Sanctification is where we grow to be more like Christ. Paul is saying we don't earn our salvation, but once we've received the gift of salvation in Christ alone, by faith alone, we're not supposed to stay stagnant. We're supposed to move forward. And in order to move forward, you need to put effort into that, brothers and sisters. It took effort to graduate from school. It took effort to build that business. It took effort to raise those kids. Anything worth doing takes effort. So true of life and also true of growth in Christ. If you want to grow in Christ, it takes effort. And Paul is saying we're saved by faith, but if you want to go forward in faith, you must strive, you must press on. Works don't save us. But once we're saved, the Bible tells us that saving faith is faith that works. Read James chapter 2. James says, if you have saving faith, you should see your faith at work. And so saving faith works. And Paul is expounding on that idea. And he's saying that saving faith goes forward by pressing on effort, energy, striving. A while back, I went on a trip to Las Vegas for the Nevada Baptist Convention. You might say, I didn't know Nevada had a Baptist Convention. Every state has a Baptist Convention, and every year I go to four. And I like to go to the Nevada Convention. I have friends, and it was in Vegas, and I took my son, and we stayed at a hotel, and this hotel had a lazy river. You know what a lazy river is? It's exactly what it sounds like. You get on an inner tube and you float your way around a river. And if you miss your stop, don't worry, it'll come around again. And you've got to do absolutely nothing. It is a lazy river. Christianity is not a lazy river. You don't walk in and plop down on an inner tube and just float around until Jesus comes back. You need to get up and get in your word and get on your knees, and you need to serve, and you need to grow, and you need to love. And if you say, well, that sounds like work, it is. Strive, press on, make progress, grow up. Save by faith, hallelujah, but saving faith works. Jesus isn't just our Savior, He's our Lord, He's our King, and we want to live for Him. And that means that we have got to put energy into growth if we want to go forward in faith. Number one, press on. Press on. A great illustration of this is the Garden of Eden. You think about the Garden of Eden for a moment. The Garden of Eden was a gift. God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was a gift. It's like salvation is a gift. And then God put Adam and Eve in the garden. He said, I've got work for you to do. And God has placed us by His grace in His family. But once we're in His family, the Father says, I've got work for you to do. We need to press on. Number two, Paul says we need to be humble. If we want to go forward in faith, we've got to press on. Number two, we've got to be humble. Notice what Paul says in verse 12. He says, not that I have already obtained this or been made perfect. Now that should raise a question. What is Paul talking about? What is Paul saying he's not obtained? Well, if you look in verse 10, Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, share in His sufferings, becoming like Him. You see that in your Bible? Paul says, I was saved when I was living in the rubbish of my sin, and Jesus Christ has taken possession of me, and I want to become like Jesus. The question is, are you there? Let me answer that for you in case you're confused about it. No. You're not there. I'm not there. Paul wasn't there before he died and was made like Christ. Billy Graham, no one gets there prior to dying, taking on a resurrected, glorified body, and being made perfect in the presence of God. In this life, we are all on the journey. So Paul says, listen, let me just save you the trouble of pointing out my faults. I'm not there yet. But Paul is not using that as an excuse. Please hear what I'm saying. Paul doesn't use that as an excuse. He uses it as motivation. You see, all too often people say, well, I'm not perfect. Of course you're not perfect. Who is? No one expects you to be perfect. But we should expect and see progress. We should see Christians growing in their faith. We should see Christians getting victory in their life. We should see Christians that are moving forward, pressing on. And in that, we have to have humility, lest we become puffed up with pride. And Paul says, listen, let me just save you the question. I'm not there yet. Paul says everything before Christ is a loss, and everything after Christ is a gain. And so you've got before Christ is loss, after Christ is gain. And when we come to Christ, we're in this school of grace, this process of sanctification, where by grace we are being conformed to the image of Christ, but we're moving forward. And Paul says, I'm not there yet. You're not there yet. But let's not go back. Let's go forward in faith. How do we do that? By pressing on and by staying humble, by remaining humble. You haven't arrived yet. Now, practically, what does this matter for your life? Well, if you're a pressing on, humble, kind of going forward Christian, this means that your spouse can come to you and point out areas of your life that need to change, and you can hear that because you're not Mr. Perfect. And your husband can go to you and say, sweetie, could you work on this? You sinned against me. You hurt my feelings. And you can hear that because you're not Mrs. Perfect. And you don't have to lawyer up and defend yourself. And my kids can come to me and say, hey, Dad, you know, you're always talking about this. But, you know, the other day you said something that really, and I have to hear that. And I can hear it. If I've resolved to be like Christ and I'm not already like him, so when someone points out my areas of failure, I can hear that. I can confess it. I can repent because I don't think I'm there yet. I'm teachable. Are you teachable? Would your spouse say you're teachable? Would your children say you're teachable? Or when you amened a few minutes ago that we're not there yet, amen. Practically, do you act like you are? Are you inapproachable? When someone tries to point out a fault, do you lawyer up? See, that's where it's hard. That's where we get quiet. Because it's hard to go forward in faith when it involves practical humility like confession and repentance. Well, number three, we're to move forward by pressing on. We're to be humble. Number three, we are to look ahead. Look ahead. Look what he says in verse 13. Look in verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to the prize of the upward, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. We're to look ahead. We're to forget what is behind. Now, what do you think Paul means there? Do you think he means mass amnesia? We just forget? I was driving up the road. I saw a school of hypnosis. Is it something like that where we just forget? No, it's not that. It's something different. What Paul is saying is that we are not to look behind. What is behind is not what defines us. That's what Paul's saying. What's behind you does not define you. What's behind you does not define you. Now, there are two ways in which the past ensnares us. First, past sins. Things we used to do that maybe we have friends that want to remind us of. The devil's an accuser. He doesn't want us to live in light of the redemption of the blood of Christ. And so Satan wants to accuse us and remind us, you know, you're really no better than you used to be. And when the blood of Christ has cleansed us, Satan wants the past to define us in a way that keeps us from moving forward. Past sins can ensnare us. But there's something else about the past that can ensnare us. Past glory can ensnare us. I work with little kids at Awana on Wednesday night at my church. I sit there and they recite verses that they've memorized. And you know, it dawned on me a while back, what's the last verse I memorized? Now, you might have memorized verses as a kid, but what have you memorized lately? Or you might have a story about somebody you led to the Lord back in 1986. Who have you led to the Lord lately? You see, if you live in past sin, it'll keep you from growing, moving forward. If you live in past victory, it'll keep you from experiencing new victory and new joy and new journey. And all too often, people are stuck. They're enslaved to past nostalgia. The good old days become a kind of prison where you're constantly looking back. And Paul says, I want you in Christ to look forward. What has God got for you in this season of life? You're in a new place. What has God got for you where you're living now? What has God got for you in your new relationships? What has God got for this church in 2019? Past sins should not keep us from moving forward, neither should past glory. What has God got for us moving forward? We've got to go forward in faith by pressing on, by being humble, and by looking ahead. Did you ever see the movie The Princess Bride? If you didn't, you have an assignment this weekend. Princess Bride is a great family movie, and there's a part where the main character goes through the forest of despair, and he gets stuck in quicksand. And that's how it is in life. We're going along, and the next thing you know, all we can think about is that, how good it used to be, or about it, or how bad it used to be. And we essentially live in the yearbook of our mind. And Paul says, listen, it's 2019. God has you here. God has you now. Your life might be different than it used to be, in some ways better, in some ways worse. But God wants to use you this year by having you go forward in your faith. Number four, in order to go forward, we must grow up. We must grow up. Look at verse 14 of Philippians chapter 3. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We're not to look back, we're to look forward. Remember what God says to Lot as he leaves Sodom, as God destroys Sodom, and he's got a new place for Lot. He says to Lot, don't look back. Because God knows that when we look back and live in the glory days of the past, we're missing out on the prize he has before us. And the good news is the prize we have before us is the upward call of Christ. It's being with Christ and being like Christ. And there is nothing on earth better than that, which is why Paul says, compared to that, everything else is rubbish, trash, burn it. Paul says, what's ahead is so much better. It is so much greater to know and be known and be like Christ that we have to keep our eyes on Christ. So the question is, are you growing up in your faith? Are you growing stronger in your faith? Job 17:9 says, the righteous holds his way, and he who has clean hands grows stronger and stronger. You see, the church needs brothers and sisters who have been through some things and have been humbled by some things, but they don't live in the past. They are growing up, growing strong, mentoring younger people. When somebody comes in this church, they should be able to grab some saints with some experience under their belt and say, help me grow stronger in the Lord. And you should be able to say, I will, because God's taught me some things. I've learned how to go forward in my faith. You see, there are so many things in life that are not bad in themselves, but they are a poor substitute for the prize of Christ. Money in and of itself is not bad, but it's bad if it's become the prize of your heart. Relationships are not bad, but they're not intended to be the prize of your heart. They can never fulfill you and make you happy. Financial stability, whatever that is a nice goal, and it's something we should work for, but it will never give you the fulfillment. It should not be the prize of your heart. It's like an illusion. You try to grab at it, and it's gone. Paul says, listen, as you live this life and as you enjoy the things which God has given us to enjoy, the blessings of the day, keep your heart set on Christ, and he alone has to be the prize of our hearts. This is why the author of Hebrews in Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, we have an epidemic in our country, a problem of people that don't know how to stay in their lane. And look, I'm just going to admit, I'm part of the problem, okay? And you know when you don't stay in your lane is when you're looking at the radio or your phone, which I know you don't do. But if you did do that, now follow me here. If you're trying to go that way, you can't look this way. Because if you look this way, you're going to go this way. When you want to go that way, you see, it's just natural that you go where you're looking. Does that make sense? Spiritually, it's the same way. If you're looking at your neighbor, you're going that way. If you're always looking at the things of the world, your eyes are going to determine where your life is directed. And Paul says, look to Christ, fix your eyes on Christ. He's the prize. And if you're looking at him, and if you're staying humble, and if you're pressing forward, you're going to grow up and you're going to move forward in your faith. And that's what I pray for you. And that's what I pray for me. And that's what I pray for this church, that you wouldn't go back, that you would have the attitude of David Livingstone. I'll go anywhere, but it has got to be forward. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for the ways that it convicts us. I'm convicted, God, because I'm lazy. I want life to be a lazy river. And I don't like to be humble, God. I tend to be proud. So, God, if there's any other lazy, proud people here in this church, I pray that you'd convict us and help us to grow in humility and to grow in diligence, that we would read your word and be on our knees and lift each other up and find a way to serve and to bless and to share. God, I have to believe that by your Spirit, you have got good things in store if we will put the energy into the salvation which you have freely given. And I pray that we would. And I pray that the result would be joy and fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.